Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we've got a topic today that we hear all kinds of negative stuff blasting out over the airwaves on a consistent basis. And it's so important to realize that we have charge of our minds, that we have charge of our emotions, and that we're going to be the ones that perhaps are going to turn things around. Well, I know some of you may say, oh, Donna, that's Pollyannish. Okay, I get it. I've had my downtimes, too, where I can't see the forest for the trees, and I know exactly what that feels like. But the key is you need to be open to finding information. And my guest today, Damien Burkell, is a man who has walked a journey in life that I think is going to surprise you. But his book is very informative. It's a wonderful tool. It's called the Job Search Checklist. And it's what he wants you to know, especially if you've been laid off, if you're looking at a situation like so many people are with different companies, massive layoffs occurring because technology has replaced their jobs, or maybe their jobs just aren't needed anymore the way that they were. Is that the end of the world for you? No. So I want to welcome to the show today Damien Burkell, because I think Damien has a lot to share. Hi, Damien.
Hi, Donna. Thank you for having me on today.
Well, it's a delight. Now, Damien, you're a nationally certified career counselor, and you also founded a group, Professionals in Transition, that you've been involved with for so many years. But you have been talking about this for a while, and it came about because of your own personal experience. And God knows, any one of us that has ever had someone say, sorry, we don't want you, sorry, you're not qualified, sorry, you're overqualified. I'll never forget the day that I went in for an interview, and I was so excited. This was years ago. And the person said, my dear, you're just too talented. We can't have you here. And I'm going, excuse me? Don't you want someone that's got talent? The answer was no. The answer was no. What this person was really saying to me, and I'm sure this has happened to many of my listeners, they were saying, we're really concerned that you're going to leave after we train you, and we don't want to put that investment in you. And there's all of this, so much more. Boy, you have the first sentence of your book really grabbed me. It said, job loss is the great equalizer. Damien, you're a man that has had so many challenges in your life. This has hit you pretty hard. You've gone through this yourself, haven't you?
Oh, yes. Five times.
And Five times?
Yes.
Mm. Oh, my goodness.
And I think I gave a class yesterday, all 50-plus. Mainly people that had, well, all had bought into the American dream. Many had worked in the same company for 30 years. And, you know, they worked the way that they were raised. Get up every morning, go to a good school, find one good company, and you'll be taken care of for life.
Mm-hmm.
And all of their jobs evaporated one day because they all went to China. And basically, what I told them, because what happened was, in the center where I work, there's also a special needs daycare. And these are adults, you know, that have special needs, wheelchairs, they can't talk. And I was holding the door open and in the elevator, and it was completely full with people in wheelchairs and what have you. And they said, come on in. And it was completely full, so I squeezed in, and the most amazing thing happened. They introduced me to all of the special needs folks. When I went to the class, I said, guys, gals, I just had a phenomenal experience, and I told him what happened. And I said, the most important thing to remember is that you've only lost your job. You're healthy, you're happy, you have your family, you have your faith. A job, I can walk you through how to get, but remember, the glass is half full or even three quarters full. It's not empty. And that's what listeners need to understand. It's horrible to lose your job. People who are successful today, Donna, give 150% just to stay even. And each time that I lost my job, I went into shock and denial, depression. I got angry. Angry is good. It's righteous anger. The trick is taking that anger and channel it. And all I wanted with professionals in transition 21 years ago was someone to give me a checklist. You know, first you do A, A1, A2, A3. Well, nothing like that existed. And when I went to work recently with long-term 50-plus unemployed people who had bought into the American dream, they were looking at me and they basically challenged me. They said, don't give me book crap. Give me real deal things that I can do tomorrow. And I will tell you, Donna, that if it weren't for the folks at Professionals in Transition and the folks that come to my employability lab, this book would not have gotten written because I've had to come up with new original. That's the problem. There is so much information out there that by the time you pulled all together, I remember doing the research. I was so confused, I didn't know where to begin.
Oh, for heaven's sake. I think so many people listening to this can relate. They go, I feel like my brain has gone into deep freeze. I just don't get it. I just don't know what to do. And, you know, something, Damien, that I think is so significant, it really doesn't make any difference about your age. People will say, oh, the young people, they just know all of this stuff, blah, 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 blah. They go into the same kind of brain freeze. There are very few people that I know of that just know what they're going to do when they grow up, and that's it. And you could be growing up at 50, 60, 120. It's really amazing to me how we just label things and just make assumptions. And goodness knows, I've done that myself. Let's get down to, you've got seven steps here, and I'm going to just read off the title. One, dealing with the emotional impact of a job loss, the loss of money, security, all of this. Life after you have been removed from your positioning. Step three is developing a career plan. Step four is creating an effective resume. Step five is effective networking. Step six is effective interviewing. And step seven is hit the ground running. Now, I know that a lot of people are going to say, well, I went to classes on resumes, but before we get to the, I want to mix the resume factor along with what you titled a section, Before You Lose Your Job.
Yes.
Someone may say, Donna, that's so negative. Why in the world are you going to say, I'm going to lose my job? Well, it's sort of like getting ready for a dinner party. You have to make a plan. You have to look at things. What's the worst-case scenario? Your oven goes dead or whatever. So what do you do? And someone with a little bit of experience is going to go through the plans. What do I do if my timing is off? What do I do if blah, blah, blah? And you try to make plans. I know, because that's what I do. So let's address that in the practical application for someone that says, oh, I'm sweating bullets. We have that going on here in Washington. We've got people at Boeing that are going to be losing their jobs.
Absolutely.
There we go. That's it.
Okay, and here's the thing. The old scouting motto, be prepared, very important, because there is the only place job security exists is from within. And I don't care who you are, where you are, or how secure you feel, you just need to be prepared. And the reason why it's important to always be prepared is because I have seen people that have worked for companies that were considered anchors of the company. And all it takes is a new manager, a new VP, or a buyout, or a loss of a contract, and all of a sudden, you are dispensable. So here are the things. First thing is, you want to make sure you have all of your performance reviews signed. The reason why you want that is because what gets measured is what gets done. That is perfect for your resume. But I'll back up a little bit. Here's how you know, or here are the signs to really pay attention for when things are starting to change. First, your boss won't look you in the eye. Second, management usually will behave kind of funny. There will be meetings that are outside, sometimes on the weekend, but definitely not on the campus. The administrative assistants that were really friendly, especially in human resources, all of a sudden will be very, very standoffish. Privacy screens that were never there will get put in because, you know, they're typing up the people that are going to stay and the people that go. Two other ones, someone, and this just happened, a whole factory full of people were asked to train. You know, they said that we were going to have a new shift. Mm-mm. They trained these people. The next day, they knew something was up. There were guards at the gate. There were sheriffs with guns in the parking lot. They came in. They were standing at their machines. The back door opened. They were paraded out the front door and into a room, and that's when they were told. And at that very moment, the people they had trained came in the back door and took over. You'll also notice that there'll be a general feeling of tension, like you could cut it, you could feel it. Here's the other thing, and this is just cold, and this happened to me, and I survived three reorganizations in this whole process. Usually about 2 months before, you will get something through the mail. It's usually about benefits. Watch that very carefully. Read it. 9 times out of 10, there's a change in their policy regarding downsizing. And in many cases, like I had to do, I had to go into my manager's office and sign it, and that person had to counter-sign it. And that was 2 months in advance of the largest layoff in the company's history. Well, the reason why they did that is it was far enough away, and everybody thought, okay, it's another change. And they basically signed away most of what used to be a good package. Mm-hmm. So after you do that, as soon as you see some of that stuff, it's always good to have this. Once you have it, you always want to maintain it. So you get your performance reviews. You want to, without violating company policy, get copies of your contact database. Because once you're on the outside looking in, everything stays behind. Mm-hmm. Another thing you want to gather, and by the way, you want to get that on a stick and out at home. You want to get copies of all of your other, any attaboy, you know, great job. You want to get that out and home. You want to make sure that you get the most recent copy of your company's handbook and read it. You want to make sure that you have the most up-to-date pension plan information and statements. You want to clarify your retirement benefits. You want to, and this is critical, you want to gather copies of your best work, any company recognitions, any useful reports where you can pull things that you did and put numbers to it. So you can create quantifiable, measurable benefits, and in the process also create a portfolio of your work. And you can do this simply by blind carbon copying yourself, a memo or whatever, and just sending it to your home. Here's another thing, and this is really sad. The people who run a business are the administrative assistants of the world. God bless them. When you see them slowly removing all of their personal items, that's the time to do the same. First thing you want to do is take a picture of your cube. The second thing you want to do is label everything that's yours, and then you want to start the process. The pictures first, plants, et cetera, et cetera, but a little bit at a time, because you don't want management to know that you know or you think something's coming. The reason why you want to take a picture is because you would be surprised at the vultures that will swoop in after you're gone, and if your coffee maker is there, it'll disappear, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. Your chair will disappear. If you have a list and you have a picture, you will be able to show that to your former supervisor, and he will or she will retrieve them for you. No picture, no proof.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is you want to make, and this is terrible, I had to do it, and I've seen people in tears trying to remember. Once you're escorted out of the building, you hand over your ID, your persona non grata, and you will have to make an appointment to pick up your stuff. It's important right now that you make a packing list of everything that's yours that you want to bring home with you. And this list would be anything big, like a picture or something so big that it would call attention to, you know, the fact that you know what's going on, and that you can present to, in most cases, a security officer that will stand over your shoulder while you're packing to make sure that you're not stealing company property.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the bottom line to this whole thing is, if you're not affected, you know, if the angel of death passes over your cube, then you still can always bring everything back. But once you get into this drill, you just keep everything updated, because trust me, your time will come up. There's a 9 out of 10 chance that you're going to lose your job one way or the other. And if you do survive, you still want to do all of this stuff, because most of us are going to re-career. And one final thing, most people will change careers 5 to 8 times. That's careers. They'll change jobs on average 11 to 12 times. And if you were to look at me, I've changed careers 5 times. And the trick is knowing what your transferable skills are.
That is a big one right there. And I just want to comment on what you were saying about taking things out. I had a client that worked for a large company on the East Coast. And all of a sudden, one day, she had a guard greeting her at the door. They would not even let her in the building.
Yep.
And this was something that had been coming down the pike. And fortunately, she had done much of what you've suggested. But she said, I'm glad I had everything that I needed on a stick, because they wouldn't let me go into the computer. And she said, I was prepared if they tried to make me the bad person. In other words, they were looking for a scapegoat, but they didn't do that. They wanted her out of the picture because she basically knew a lot. And I have known more than one individual that when someone comes in, like you said, a brand new person, or maybe there's something going on that should not be going on, and you're aware of it. There's all kinds of things that can trigger it, and I'm not saying this to put business down.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about people.
Sure.
There's nothing wrong with business. I mean, if we're not productive and we're not producing, then we're not going to have anything. Everything's going to go, you know, where in a handbasket. So
right.
It's very important that we understand the information that's being given is not bad-mouthing business. The only reason business exists is because of people. And it's people that their various personalities and personas, their fears, their angst, sometimes it's just technology. We went through this in the early 1900s, went through it again in the 1940s. Went through it again in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. It seems like every generation goes through this on some level or another. So your suggestions in the book, The Job Search Checklist, is very important. And I liked what you said right at the end. Transferable skill. Now, something I have encouraged people to do, I've done this with literally thousands of people, especially when they are stuck in a rut, I'll say, why don't you go do a vocational aptitude test? Look at what your strengths are. Because I think that's so important. So often we can't look at ourselves. How do you feel about that?
I think that learning what your transferable skills are critical. And one quick way that, people can kind of get a feel for this is this is a standard career counselor's exercise. It's called the seven stories exercise. It was originally developed by Bernard Haldane, and it's now owned by the 5 o'clock club. But what you do is, and I did this when I was out of work, and I prescribed this to my students. You sit down and you write seven stories. Usually I say 25 stories of times, and it can go all the way back to when you were a kid, times when you took charge, did something you liked, and got a great result. And then I sit down with them, and I look at all the 25 different stories that they write, not huge stories. You know, it can be a paragraph or two. The most important thing is that they can tell me that story. And then you look across the 25 stories, and all of a sudden, voila, you see a skill set that just emerges because it's when the person is in their groove and they're doing something that they love and they're using their natural skill set that you begin to see what their transferable skill set is. And the reason why you love your job, some of it anyways, is because you're using your natural skill set. And sometimes when you hate a job or when you are a mismatch with your boss, mismatch with your company, is one, your personality type is completely different or very close to being different, and you collide with that person. That's just natural. Your communication style is radically different, and you can't speak their language, and your transferable skills are suppressed. So once people learn what their transferable skill set is, they may not be able to use it all the time in every job, but they know where their strengths are in life. And what I tell people, especially when they're in a job they hate, and it's true, ask a person how they spend their time out of their job, and you will learn what their natural skill set is. Because just like professionals in transition, I don't get paid to do it. I've never gotten paid to do it for 21 years. I love to do that. I spend a boatload of time doing it because that's where my natural skill set is.
I think that's wonderful advice. Now, I want to jump forward a little bit.
Sure.
First of all, I want to mention a couple of things. One, you have a very important section in here. When someone goes through a job loss, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, it just affects you dramatically. Because the first thing you're concerned about, even if you get good severance package, and I've had people that I've talked with have gotten very good packages, but they're concerned, especially in today's economy. How am I going to survive? This is only going to last me maybe 6 months, maybe a year. And maybe if they're married and they have a family, they've got all of these expenses that are just looming in front of them. But you have some good tips. You say, whatever you do, number one, if you lose your job, don't put your house up for sale. Don't do anything because it's a divorce. You're going through effectively a divorce. You do not make any major decisions while you're in that divorce pattern.
Absolutely
right.
You've
got to get through it. And whatever you do, don't badmouth the company that you've been with, because that's going to go out. That sends out, if you talk about negative vibes, you're wailing, moaning, groaning, and you're furious, and you're really negative, that works against you. It really does. And it's going to have
big time.
An over effect, a huge expanding effect is what I should have said, because if you go for an interview, that's going to be rippling out, and people are going to feel it. They don't want it. They don't need it. If they're looking at you as a potential employee, and you have got this attitude, they're going to say, if you do this with this company, I wonder what you're going to do with us. I know
if
someone's been on Facebook, what she did was horrific. Just absolutely horrific. And what she did was alienate a whole bunch of people. There was no excuse because she had really lied about so much stuff, and that came out afterwards. But also, you bring out a point. There's so many points here. You bring out a point. Don't spend all your days at home applying for jobs listed on the internet. Amen to that one. I was talking with someone just within the last 2 weeks that said, I have applied for 300 jobs on the internet. I went, duh. She is. Don't you think there's something going on here? But you have a point here, and this is a good one. Talk about the fact you're out of work and you're looking for a job. Let people know.
Absolutely, because if you're over 50, there's a 90% chance that, and geographically bound to the area, that your next job is going to come to you from either someone you know or someone who knows you. Mm-hmm. Nationally, and these statistics haven't changed in 25 years, if you look at the numbers year after year, 80% or the quote-unquote hidden job market comes from networking. And I just explained that. 20% is the visible job market. That's the meat markets. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant job fairs, because mm-hmm. that's really what they are. Newspapers, magazines, trade. But the internet, this is going to startle you. Based on my definition of people finding jobs on the internet, it's 7%. That's it. And I'll describe it.
Oh, my goodness. 7%?
Yes.
That's all?
That's all. Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. Now, here's how you define it, though. It's very precise. Finding a job on the internet means saw the job, applied for the job, interviewed for the job, second interviewed, third interviewed, negotiated, got the salary, got the job. Now, I'm not saying that you don't have to go on the internet and apply for a position, say if it's on a company website. Most companies these days at job fairs won't even take your resume. Mm-hmm. You know, they say that you must apply online. But to actually get that job strictly from applying online blind, it's 7%.
Unbelievable. Now, I know we're going to be going to a break pretty soon. Would you be able to stay with me another 15 minutes? Because I'd love to have my audience learn a couple of the steps. And you've got so many more steps in the job search checklist. And I like the way you've put it together, because you go section by section and people can just follow it from A to Z and implement it. It's really great. Could you stay with me another 15 minutes?
I would love to.
Wonderful. All right. This is Donna Sebo, and we're talking with Damian Burkell. The book is The Job Search Checklist. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about personal marketing plan and also how to create an effective resume, because there are some things that he sees here that states in his book that I think you might find quite interesting. Maybe if we have a chance, we'll talk about social networking. But regardless, we are going to definitely touch those two points. So this is Donna Sebo. We are going to take a break, and when we come back, we are going to be discussing those items. My guest again today, Damian Burkell, the book, The Job Search Checklist. What do you want to know so that you can get back to work? All right. Stay tuned, and you'll find out some more points. Donna Sebo here. We'll be right back.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Amino Muscle Snack Time, the chewable nutrition that feeds your muscles. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. When you exercise, muscle tissue naturally breaks down. This low-cal, chewable snack helps to reverse that process and won't pack on the pounds. You can chew a few tasty vanilla tablets or any one of their other flavors before or after physical exercise, right before bedtime, or first thing in the morning to jumpstart your metabolism into gear for the day. Convenient to carry in a purse, backpack, or briefcase, they are a tasty snack for the person on the go. Firm, fit muscles, trim, healthy body. Sound good to you? Check out Amino Muscle Snack Time Chewable Nutrition by going to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Tone up, trim up, and nourish your body to the fitness level you desire. Amino Muscle Snack Time Nutritional Tablets. Check out the information and order today. Go to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. We're talking with Damien Burkell. The Job Search Checklist is his new publication. Damien, I really like what you've done with your book because it is a very orderly book, and it's something that you have put together because you want the guy and gal on the street. You don't have to have a PhD in anything to understand this. It's very easy to read, and you've made it so that it's usable. Let's talk about a personal marketing plan. This is a biggie. Most people go into reverse mental jam when you start talking about personally marketing yourself because they associate it with sales. They say, oh, my yes. goodness, I'm not a good salesperson. Yet every one of us are salespeople on one level or another. Talk to us about the marketing plan, the personal marketing plan. What does someone need to be aware of?
Well, first thing, let me summarize it and encourage your listeners to memorize it. It's really simple. It's something that I teach my students, and it's something that I used every time I interviewed. And I, too, sent out 500 resumes, 50 responses, 5 interviews, no. Now, the remember this. Be the answer. That's B-E. Be the answer. Your job is to be the answer to the employer's needs. So a personal marketing plan revolves around being the answer to the employer's needs. It's simple, not simple to believe, but that's really all it is. Everything that you do in your personal marketing plan revolves around communicating with those that can make a decision. When you understand that you have to stand above the crowd to be noticed and to speak in the language that they are used to hearing, using the keywords that you can find customized to that job, you all of a sudden rise to the top. So when you develop your personal marketing plan, the first thing you have to do is both look back and look ahead. And we talked a little bit about the 7 stories exercise. And when you start to look back across your career, you're going to ask yourself things like, what did I like the best about all the jobs that I had? And what did I like the least? And what were some of my important accomplishments? What were some of my spectacular failures? I have a strong, strong philosophy. Fail forward. It's okay. Even when you lose your job, fail forward. Every time I lost my job, it was an integrity issue. And you know what, Donna? I would do it all again. Because I have to get up in the morning and look at myself in the mirror.
And that's important. That's something we have to have integrity with, is ourselves.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yes.
Then you continue by comparing one job with the other job. You ask yourself, you know, within those jobs, because, you know, quote, you have a title, but there's jobs within jobs. And frankly, you're in a good job if you like about 75% of what you do. Everybody has grunt work. Everybody has to get through it. 75 to 80% of doing what you like, and then within that 20 to 30% you love doing, that's the right job for you. After you ask yourself, you know, the good jobs within the jobs and the bad jobs within the jobs, all of a sudden you're starting this process. It's like being in a funnel, and you're starting to narrow down, and you're tossing out all the things that you don't want to do again. That's very important when it translates onto your resume. You know, I can't ask my bride of 38 years. Obviously, going forward, I wouldn't want to be a teller in a bank, but yet I'd make a great bank president because they keep me away from trying to balance a cash register at the end of the night. So I wouldn't put love to balance checkbooks on my resume because I don't like it. It drives me bananas, and I never want to do it. So toss it out. Toss it out of the funnel. And then you keep on going. You find your transferable skills by doing the 7 stories exercise. Now, this is something brand new. here is how you find, everybody says, oh, use this list as a keyword, or use this list. Forget about it. Here is how you find your keywords. And my students now are getting 25 to 50% hit rate when they apply online, because you can crack the back of the internet and find the keywords that are yours. And again, I'm thinking, all these job experts, and here I am, and all of a sudden, bam, you know, the Holy Spirit knocked me off my feet, and I was like, this is so simple. Here's how you do it. Indeed.com, I-N-D-E-E-D, like the word, Indeed.com, or Simply Hired, together, S-I-M-P-L-Y-H-I-R-E-D.com, Simply Hired. Those are job aggregators. Those also act like a funnel. And when I tell folks, when you're doing your personal marketing plan, go into those. Those are job aggregators. They're like a Hoover vacuum cleaner. You type in the position, and it will go out and it will pull positions from every single spot on the internet. So you don't have to worry about Monster and various other sites. I tell them to discontinue all of their emails and everything else that comes from all of the others, because it only confuses you, and your mailbox is full. I have candidates that are getting up to 100 emails a day. It's like, don't do that. Find your keywords. So what you do, you go to either one of the job aggregators, and I tell them, type in a title, maybe your old title, and find 15 to 20 positions that you could do tomorrow. And you don't put in the zip code. Say, I usually type in, I go to Indeed.com, I type in marketing manager, and I don't put in a zip code, and then I let it rip. I choose 20 positions from across America that have the title marketing manager and has the requirements, you know, the mandatory requirements that I can do. Then you print them out, you take the 20, you put them out on the dining room table or wherever, you get out a highlighter, and then you go through the mandatory requirements and you start highlighting. Then you rank the words that appear the most frequently. So you look at 20 positions, and all of a sudden you see, A, well, it's on 20 out of 20, this requirement, say, Word. And then Excel, 20 out of 20, and so on and so forth. And by the time you're done, you have the top 20 words, the language of the internet, that an employer is looking for to find a marketing manager. So now your personal marketing plan, your resume, has the words that they're looking for. And you make sure that you have those words sprinkled generously throughout your resume. And boom, you got it. Here's the other thing with the book. And I had to negotiate like a wild man to make sure that readers could download everything from the book. They can download the resume. They can download all of the different forms, because I wanted to give it away so they can pull it down and they don't have to recreate the wheel, right?
That is absolutely, absolutely fabulous, because you have a checklist in here that people can utilize. And so for them to be able to even go to the website and to download what you've got in the way of printable information is just absolutely fabulous. And you go into that. Now, you bring up something with a resume.
Sure.
That I thought was rather interesting. Chronological or functional? Those were two words that you used. What's the difference?
Oh, great question. A chronological resume, and I want to bust a myth right here. More people come to me and say, well, my aunt said only one page, and my uncle said only one page, and my brother said only one page. Forget about it. Your resume, when you submit it online, goes through a thing called ATS, that's in the book, Applicant Tracking Software. A human doesn't read it. There are 96% of everything that's out on the internet never gets read by human eyes. So if people think their stuff goes into a big black hole in the internet, it does. So the reason why you find those keywords for you and you put them on a chronological resume is a chronological resume is a listing of all the companies that you worked for from the most recent to the last. A functional resume, and that, by the way, is used 95% of the time and that is the common protocol that human resource managers look for. A functional resume would be used, like if you were military, mm-hmm. and you were translating military terms into civilian. If you were a mom or a dad coming back after taking care of a sick parent, or a mom returning to the workforce, and there you the primary advantage of a functional resume is the where you worked only appears at the very bottom of your one-page resume, line-listed. The thought being, I call it the one-page rule. If you call up a resume, human resource manager, they're only going to see the very top of your resume. Contact information, career summary, key skills, which are your mm-hmm. keywords. If they haven't bought you by the one screen that they can view, they ain't going to go any further. Mm-hmm. They're going to just go on to the next person. So even though a functional resume is only used 5% of the time, it works beautifully for people that have holes in their resume or people who are going to change careers, because you don't want to send a chronological resume where you are a brickmaker and are changing careers. Let's say you went back to school and you were going to go into the medical field mm-hmm. because, you know, it would just confuse them. That's the difference.
I think what you're stating here, too, is that we sort of have to be aware of the fact that just like we get busy, I know when I'm going through emails, so many people, and this is important, I think, when they send information on an email, mm-hmm. they don't have a correct portion or a descriptive enough one-liner in the subject line, and it can be deleted so fast it's not even funny.
Sure.
And that is amazing to me that people are not aware of that. And it's sort of the same with resume, just what you've said. You need to know that the human resources person or whoever is going to be reviewing things, even your job searching agencies,
mm-hmm.
they are going
mm-hmm.
to be so inundated with so much stuff. And that is part of what happens today. We have got mm-hmm. so much stuff being thrown at us, left, right, up, down, inside, outside. I mean, it's just amazing. So to go through that effectively, you've got to have something that's going to grab. You have to be specific. And if they go, that clicks. Because if they've got 1,000 applications, and I've talked to people in human resources or people that have done interviews, they'll say, do you know I am getting 150 applications a day?
I believe it. Yep.
Possibly go through them.
Mm-hmm.
They've got other stuff to do. They've got other, you know, items that come with their job responsibilities. It's not just sitting and looking at these papers.
No.
So I think your statements are extremely important. Now, Damien, I know we're just about out of time here, and I want my listeners to know that your job search checklist, the job search checklist book, is absolutely wonderful. And if you should decide that you yourself want to be sure that you're able to make a transition, whether or not you're going to be laid off, it's not the issue. Maybe you found that you just really need a change. You're in the wrong spot. You're doing the wrong stuff. Maybe you need to be a forest ranger instead of working at a frosty freeze place or whatever. So what you need to do is understand it's not good, it's not bad. But why not have a tool like the Job Search Checklist by Damien Burkell? And his first name is spelled D-A-M, like Mary, I-A-N, and Burkell is B-I-R-K-E-L. Now, here's his website, jobsearching.org. Very simple, jobsearching.org. You have a resource here that can really open up opportunity in ways that maybe you could never have envisioned. Visualizing things, desiring things, that's wonderful. But we often have to put action behind it. Like I said earlier, just like cooking, you can have all the ingredients, but unless you know how to mix, match, and know what exactly you need to do to get that recipe cooked and prepared and out on time, you've got to be able to understand the steps that are necessary. So this is a recipe of type for you. And pass it along to your kids. Maybe they're in college that need to find work, or maybe they're wanting to find a job. It can be used by them, too. Damian Burkell, thank you so much for being my guest. It's been a delight having you.
Thank you so much, Donna.
This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance our physical needs with our busy schedules is always a challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors, a bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. Amino Muscle Snack Time can be used anytime, anywhere, first thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. Weight loss, appetite control. Only top-of-the-line and no genetically modified ingredients are used, no caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com for more information. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number, if you'd like to give me a buzz, if you'd like to call in, is 888-627-6008. I wanted to let you know about our upcoming guests. One is called The Invasion of Heaven, Michael Cope. Well, this is going to be a fascinating subject. In My Waking Dream, Amy Hindman. We're going to be talking with her. Unfolding Our Light. We'll be traveling to England, talking about crystals with one of the leading experts in the world. And, of course, then Thanksgiving is coming up. And, oh, my goodness, what a wonderful holiday. And I am still going to be on the air. That's right. I'm going to be on the air in the morning on Thanksgiving Day. So I hope you can join me. It's going to be an open mic hour. And then we are going to be finding out about some conspiracy theories. Yes, Nick Redfern, who's been a guest on my show before, his new book, For Nobody's Eyes. Ah, does it grab your attention? Oh, and this and so much more is coming up on the Donna Sebo Show, and I invite you to tell your friends. And we've got such wonderful developments that are evolving, and we're going to be announcing those next month as well. So be sure you stay tuned. Now, what would you do if you were out scuba diving and a shark came up to investigate you? Well, if you're like most people, shark means danger. Well, there is a guy by the name of Ben Rutenberg. He's a marine biologist, and he now has got a new name. Mm-hmm. He's got a new tag that's been attached to him. He's a shark puncher. Oh, just what we all want to do, right? Especially when we're not feeling so good, is punch sharks. Well, actually, that's quite an interesting story, and I don't know if you've heard about people, different individuals, who have found that by stroking sharks, yes, stroking them, it literally puts them to sleep because of all the nerve endings that's in the head area. And you might say, oh, yeah, sure, that's what I'm going to do, Donna. I'm going to go up to the shark, all those wonderful shiny teeth of theirs, which can just tear you to shreds and nothing flat. But sharks are interesting predators. And instead of looking at them as the evil beings of the ocean, we're realizing how very valuable they are in the ocean. And sadly, they have been overfished. And some of that is due to certain cultural beliefs, and it's horrific what they do to the sharks. They'll cut off the shark's fins and then toss them back into the ocean. Of course, they die. It's a horrific, brutal thing to do. And it's just something that's been done because of a belief system about shark fins. and their shark fin soup, all of this other stuff. Well, what we've been doing, and this is the human population, no matter where you are in the world, it's the human population that's been doing it. It's been affecting the well-being of many of the other species in the ocean, because sharks will sort of keep the oceans clean. They really serve a very important purpose. Now, what happened with Ben Rutenberg? He was in the Galapagos, and he said there are three common species of sharks there. And he said there was a shark that was huge that was coming towards him. And he goes, oh, boy, I don't know what I'm going to do with this. I mean, they move fast in the water. They're extremely fast in the water. Well, he did know one thing. Sharks have a lot of sensory organs on the ventral side of their snout. And he had read somewhere that if you grab them on the side, they're very sensitive and they stop doing whatever they're doing. So what he did, when the shark swam up to him, he punched it with the palm of his hand underneath its snout. Boom! And the shark just stopped right there in the water. Just didn't go anywhere. And he said, of course, you could imagine feeling like this if you had a shark that was keeping you company at that moment. He said he felt like he lived 2 or 3 weeks of time by looking at this shark there in the water. All of a sudden, it flicked its tail and it just disappeared. He said, I know it was less than 5 seconds. And he said, I got back in a boat really, really fast. But he said he really didn't know what kind of shark that he had seen. And he found out through going through, because there's many species of sharks, and he finally found a picture that looked like the shark that he had encountered underwater. He thinks it was a bull shark. In fact, he said it's considered the most aggressive shark species in the world. And what they found in research about the bull shark is that the shark is very territorial, and what it's doing, it's checking you out and wants to know who you are, what you are, and are you going to take over their territory. And he said he's met, since he had this experience of punching a shark with the palm of his hand, he said he's met a number of people that have been around bull sharks, but he's never known one to do what he did. And he said, I don't know what the shark was thinking. I don't know why it took off, but it was an experience it had not had before. And it may have thought, I don't know what this is. I think I'm going to leave it alone because it's done something I'm not familiar with. An amazing experience. Who knows? Maybe sometime there's going to be a job for a shark puncher. It's a story, and it's a true one. Donna Sebo here. I know we've only got a few minutes, and I just wanted to say that there are so many things that are going on in the world that we need to just know that we're not stuck. We need to know that sometimes when life smacks us down, we take the time and ask, what can I do with it? What's the gift in this experience? Now, when we go through real negative experiences, that's not an easy thing to do. But if you can do that, it enables you to realize that there's sometimes more going on in life than you would have imagined. And maybe without your being aware of it, that negative experience is going to enable you to step up to a greater part of yourself and or maybe assist someone else that's so blindsided they cannot, as I said at the beginning of my interview, see the forest for the trees. They can't. You never know how what you have been through is going to empower another human being. Not just yourself. You need to always pay attention to the highest and best for yourself. But life isn't fair, and life doesn't have any favorites. We're all going to go through the ups and downs. And if you can remember always that you're the master of your fate, you are the captain of your soul. Nobody else is the boss. You are the boss. Well, that gives you a power a lot of people wish that they could recognize and acknowledge that they have. This is Donna Sebo. Have an absolutely awesome day or evening wherever you are on this absolutely phenomenal planet that we live on. And we'll be back with you, same time, same place. Stay tuned. We got a lot of good things on the Donna Sebo Show, and I love sharing them with you. Thanks for joining me today. Bye for now.
You've been listening to the Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.